Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. Evan, you know, it seems like years since I said that intro, and so it kind of excites me tonight to be able to introduce the show. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's weird. It's weird with me not doing the intro. I've had to do it the last two nights, and it's you know, I actually got a quick second to after the after this opening song that I was looking for. So, you know, just another great day. Packer game tomorrow. Can't say for sure that that's going to be great or not. A lot of question marks surrounding the Packers. Fortunately for the Packers, the Bears have their own problems. Bears have their own problems, fortunately for Green Bay. But the Packers have a whole host of problems as well. So we're going to obviously dive in on that a little bit and talk about that matchup and that game. But other than that, I'm doing great. And, you know, as I talk to the listeners every show, pretty much, I just want to let listeners know if you're looking to lose some weight before the end of the year, you know, I don't know what you decided to do for New Year's resolution. So I know a lot of people set New Year's resolutions to lose weight, whatever. And if you're, you know, if you ask for something that you've done, there's still time to reach your goals. You know, we're almost 2 months from 2017. We're like 2.5 months, Troy, a little under 2.5 months from 2017. And the thing is, people can still reach their fitness goals if they start now. And, you know, Beachbody has a lot of options to help you reach your goals. You know, there's Shakeology, your nutrition dense shake that's going to help you fill the gaps in your nutrition. There's tons of workout programs, and every program has a meal plan and a meal guide or nutrition plan to help you get the best results from the program. You know, especially if you do the program a 21-day fix, you would lose 10 to 15 pounds in just 21 days if you follow the program to the letter. But if you're interested and you want to learn more, all you got to do, you know, as I say every day, shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com, and I can talk to you about what you want to do and what your goals are and help you reach those. So coachevan66@gmail.com. So throw it back to you, Troy, and you know, let's get see how you got doing out in Western PA before we get this preview show started for the Packers and the Bears.
Well, the first thing is I made it to the show tonight, so that's always a plus. So that means that things are moving in the right direction. That's number one. Doesn't mean my life is great. Just means that I've been able to overcome a few things. Headache is gone. Car situation is under control. Again, doesn't mean that they're all taken care of. It just means they're under control. So I'll say it this way. Life is under control, Evan. Doesn't mean that it couldn't be better. But it's a great show tonight. Talking Packer football. It is, you know, there are a lot of things going into this game, and a short week is not what the Packers needed this week. It is certainly the last thing that they needed was a game on Sunday, turn around and play a Thursday night. And then on top of it, you throw in the rival Bears. I mean, I know that these two teams, and I put it in the preview, the expectations for fan bases are in two different hemispheres. Packer fans expecting Super Bowl, Bears expecting super improvement. I mean, that's really the expectations of two fan bases. But when you're talking Bears-Packers, you take the records, you throw them out the window. It's a rivalry game. Doesn't matter if one of them would be, you know, 15-0 and the other one 0-15, it's going to be a game where they go out because they dislike each other and they're going to play hard-nosed football. But let's move into it, buddy. Thursday night, Packers, Bears, big story surrounding Green Bay and the running back situation. I mean, that's got to be the top story, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Eddie Lacy is officially out tomorrow. He's one of seven guys that are out. The other will be others to note will be Jared Abadaris, James Starks, Jared Cook, Sam Shields, and Chris Banjo, other guys of note that will not play tomorrow. Davante Adams is questionable, but I would not be surprised to play. He just had a concussion on Sunday. I don't know how he turned around and played on Thursday, but maybe they're trying to push him to play due to the fact that they may need to use Ty Montgomery as that in the backfield role a little bit more, being that Lacy won't play. They have a practice squad guy, I believe, Don Johnson, and Niall Davis, who they just traded for yesterday to be the running back. So I don't know how and why the Packers got into this mess. I don't get how Ted Thompson and the Packers front office allowed for this mess to happen. Why did they only go into the year with two running backs? You know, we talked a while back that the depth at the running back position was a concern. Like, you have an injury-prone James Starks. You have Eddie Lacy, who has a history of ankle issues dating back to since his rookie year. He tends to play through them, but he's got a history of ankle issues. And you only keep two running backs on your active roster. That was just baffling to me. And then you wait until Sunday to decide that, you know, James Starks isn't going to play because he had knee surgery, and you don't bring anybody in during the week. From my knowledge, they didn't bring any running backs in to kick the tires on since they let C.J. Spiller leave a couple weeks ago when they brought him in. They brought nobody in, and you go into Sunday with half a running back, and now you have a running back who has been in Green Bay all of a little over 24 hours expected to potentially carry that load tomorrow. And the running back position in regards to actually running the ball, there's not really much to really learn. And the benefit the Packers have is that he's coming from Andy Reid. And the other than different terminology, the West Coast offense is kind of similar. So he should kind of know, you know, what to expect a little bit. When you're running back, it's really about just finding the hole. But my concern, Troy, with the running back position now is you had Eddie Lacy, who was a pretty decent blocker. You have James Starks, a pretty decent blocker. Well, now you got Davis. I don't know what kind of blocker Davis is, but Davis doesn't know the blocking assignments. He doesn't know, you know, what to do on particular blitz pickups and whatnot. So now you're adding another responsibility, if Davis is in there, to Aaron Rodgers, who's already struggling himself. So usually I'm a little more confident when Green Bay plays the Bears. But right now I have a hard time. Go into this game, Troy, very, very confident. I think this should be a game the Packers win. They're going to have to throw the ball probably 40, 50 times. And typically when you throw the ball 40, 50 times in a game, you don't win. And I don't know. This is just a very interesting matchup to me. And I must say, too, I hate Thursday night football. I really do. So what are your thoughts on the whole running back situation? And, you know, what kind of impact do you see now Davis having? Now, I see him having at maximum 10 carries. I don't see him carrying the load tomorrow because it's so new. He's so new to the team. That's what I see. I see Davis getting 10 carries.
Well, here's the problem. How much of the playbook is he going to know? I know he's a running back, but you still need to know there are certain run plays that you have to put into place And so the offense is so limited now, Evan, with a new guy coming aboard. How fast can you learn specific plays? I know he's an NFL player. Many of these plays can be basic and learn the quick understanding of them. But even then, I think you limit the offensive play calling ability by having Davis there. Now, it's great that we got him. It's great that we have a capable person there, and I like Davis. I think he can do a very viable job in Green Bay. But talk about throwing somebody into the fire. This is about the closest to the definition that you're ever going to get. You took out, though, my biggest concern. You actually talked about it. How will he adjust to the blocking schemes that the running backs need to know? Didn't we hear over years, Evan, the reasons why some of the running backs weren't on the field and we thought they were good runners is because the old adage, and I'm air quoting, they can't pick up the blockers. They can't pick up the blitz. I want to see how he operates doing that. If they've got to keep an extra blocker in, then what does that do? Do they bring another tight end in? Do they go with a fullback in the backfield and kind of tip their hand, hey, we're going to pass the ball here? It is a fiasco. It really is. And you say, how did we get to this situation? You gave out the Pooh Ball Award, Evan. And for those listening, then I'm going to continue my thought, but I'm going to let you answer the question. I'm not going to answer for you. For our listening audience, who was Week 6 ROSN Pooh Ball Award winner from Evan Witalison this week?
I gave it to Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy for the fact that they allowed the running back position to get to this point. And I think I'm going to go on Thompson being he's the personnel guy. He's the guy that's supposed to put the roster together for Mike McCarthy. But first of all, is Mike McCarthy, like, just, you know, saying yes, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, to everything Ted Thompson says? Now, how is Mike McCarthy not stomping his foot on the ground, kicking and screaming, yelling at Ted Thompson to not bring a running back in last week? Or how is he not kicking and screaming and pounding his feet, telling Thompson to keep a third running back on final cutdown day instead of 7 wide receivers and like 85 safeties and God knows what else they kept. And, you know, just weaken the team. I didn't expect Detroit to be a problem this early in the year at the running back position, but I knew in the back of my mind, I knew this would be a problem at some point this year.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding on Mike McCarthy being a little baby is what I'm thinking right now. There's no way in the world.
That's Thompson, too.
Well, I'm gonna point the finger a little bit here at Mike McCarthy about the roster because the beginning of the year, Evan, we talked about the wide receivers. Are they going I remember a show saying, I don't know how in the world they keep 7 receivers with other position depth that is necessary. Not necessarily running back, but 7 receivers is going to limit you somewhere else. They decided that, oh, we'll do it in the running back situation. Oh, because we can use Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery in the backfield. Oh, that's great. But Eddie Lacy, Evan, has had a history of injury problems throughout his young career because of the way he runs. I'm not saying that he's a fragile back by any means. The guy runs, balls out as a beast every time he gets the ball, and he takes hits. He's going to get hurt. Now, James Starks getting injured, that is a surprise. He's been somewhat of a durable back. You can't fault the guy for having to have surgery. Who you do fault, like you said, is Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson. But if I'm Mike McCarthy, Evan, and I'm the head coach, I have to put my fist down and say I need 3 running backs on the roster. And then when Starks gets hurt and Eddie Lacy is banged up, you have to be looking at your head saying, okay, what is the worst-case scenario here? What is the worst thing that could happen? Because the worst thing happened. And now you've got to move forward. Thursday night, Evan, normally I would say a Thursday night game against the Bears with Aaron Rodgers against, well, we'll talk about it in a little bit. I think Hoyer is actually doing a pretty good job. I think Hoyer is more capable right now than Jay Cutler. But this is a Chicago Bears team, Evan, that the Packers should wipe up. I'm not so sure that that's going to be the case on Thursday night. They should win, but as inconsistent as they've been, and now you take away a big piece of the puzzle, which is a good running game, it can just allow this Bears defense to tee off, and our receivers are having a hard time getting separation once again. They talked about it Sunday against the Cowboys. Is it a scheme issue they're facing, or have teams figured something out? I think teams have figured something out, Evan. I want to move into this. The passing game woes and the receivers not getting separation. It is becoming a trend, not an anomaly. We talked about it last year. The receivers can't get open. We're starting to talk about it again. Have teams figured this out, Evan? Have teams figured out how to stop Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I've been reading and hearing. And I was, Pete Doherty, I think, had an article on Tuesday following the Packer loss to Dallas, and he was talking about this. You know, it goes to look at what the Giants did against Green Bay. Now, it used to be get pressure on the quarterback with your front four and drop everything back into coverage. But now they're even taking out to get pressure on Rodgers. They're just, you know, rushing four, containing Rodgers to the pocket and dropping everyone back in the coverage. And they're pressing at the line. And that's been a problem with the Packer wide receivers dating back to 2011 when they played the Kansas City Chiefs, when they lost their first and only game that year. When you jam the receivers at the line of scrimmage and not give them a clean break off the line, they have a hard time getting open. So and teams know this. And Rodgers, I was reading a quote from Kurt Warner, and basically it's a combination of things. It's Rodgers is not trusting that his receivers are going to get open, and the receiver, you know, teams are over, you know, they're overfilling the passing lane. So he doesn't have anywhere to really throw. And it's almost if Rodgers is scared to try to throw people open. He looks scared at times, and it's mental. And that's the other thing with watching all the talking heads the past couple of days on the different networks and listening to them on the radio. For Rodgers, it's actually all mental. I don't even think it's the teams per se doing the thing. It's mental. His timing's off. When receivers do get open, it's like he's shocked. Holy crap, my receiver's open, and he's a little late getting the ball then. And it's just a lot of things that Rodgers needs to figure out. And I don't know if he will against Chicago, but Chicago can be a team that's just what the doctor ordered. Because Chicago has a lot of issues on defense. They got some problems on defense. They give up, about 235 yards passing a game, 107 on the ground. They give up 23 points per game, and they allow 36% on third down conversion. So Chicago's defense might, the Packers might finally, get a defense that they need right now. And it'd be interesting to see what the Packers can do against Chicago. And I think the key offensively, Troy, for Green Bay against Chicago, they got to get Rodgers in a rhythm early. I don't know what that's going to entail, but they got to get Rodgers in rhythm early. And the one thing I do know it's going to entail, do some crossing routes, do some rub routes, do some bunch formations, get creative trying to get guys open off the line of scrimmage. That's what you're going to need to do. The protection's there for Rodgers. He's getting the protection. But the problem is the timing is off because receivers aren't getting open quick enough, and Rodgers is almost scared to pull that trigger. So offensively, it's that simple. I'm not going to talk about we got to establish the running game and control the clock and, move the chains and, convert third down conversions, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to sit here and say all that because I don't expect the Packers to really run the ball much at all. with Davis and Montgomery and you know, this Don Johnson guy and Rutkowski. I don't expect them to really run the ball much at all. But the key thing is the offense needs to get creative on getting separation to the receiver. The isolation routes, Troy, don't work. They don't work at the moment. So do some bunch formations. Do some motion. Do some jet sweeps. Do some crossing routes, some slams, some different stuff to, you know, to get guys open and run, you know, the old pick play I used to run. And I don't mean like you deliberately pick people, but you force the corners to run into each other because of the routes that you run. Things that the Packers used to do with Donald Driver and Greg Jennings and James Jones and those guys, you know, guys that aren't there anymore. So that's my thought offensively with Rodgers and figuring out Rodgers. I know I kind of rambled a little bit there, but I wanted to throw in my keys for the offense too.
My keys for the offense, Evan, score more points than the Chicago Bears. That's my key. Like you, you sit there and you just wonder what they're going to do offensively. You know, they are, in my mind, they are one-dimensional Thursday night. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't go out and put up 35 points on the Chicago Bears defense. There's opportunity here. The problem is they have to get people involved. And I want to touch on a point you're talking about with Aaron Rodgers and his mental state right now. You're absolutely right. He does not trust anyone on that receiving core. I don't even know if he trusts Jordy Nelson anymore. Jordy Nelson has dropped a few balls over the past couple of weeks, and that's un-Jordy Nelson-like. And you can't blame the pressure. And you've mentioned it, that internal clock a quarterback has. 1, 2, 3, got to get rid of the ball. 1, 2, 3, 4, got to get rid of the ball. Aaron Rodgers is dancing back there at times, Evan. I'm actually applauding. If there's a MVP unit right now on this team, I think it's the offensive line. I think they're doing a heck of a job. And they were doing a heck of a job with the running game. And I think they will eventually, too. It's just right now, with such a makeshift running back situation, that they're going to be one-dimensional on Thursday. It doesn't mean they can't win. You brought up one thing that I wish they would do again. That's the bubble screen. I can't remember the last time I saw one of those with Green Bay. And slant pattern. But again, Evan, when they run the slants, that's a timing pattern, and that ball has to be delivered on time. It has to be delivered accurately, and the receiver has to catch it. And right now, none of that component is working in Green Bay. And you wonder, is it practice? Is it a situation like that? I don't know. I'm not at practice. But there's a lot of things that I've seen that the Packers have gotten away from it. But at the end of the day, I threw the question back at you about the receivers. This is not something that, it just popped out of the woodwork today. We talked about it last year. I think we talked about it the year before. Maybe at some point you try to find receivers that can get open, that aren't going to get jammed. And now you're getting jammed up at the line. That's any receiver. But when you do that, Evan, you have to figure out ways to stop that. You have to counteract. You have to run plays that are going to cause a team to get out of doing what they need to do. And that means you find other ways and other weapons and certain plays that are going to not allow that to be a reason why you're getting beat. And so I agree with you. They've got to get creative. Now, the one thing is, Evan, now that we're sitting here talking about that the running game is null and void, watch Davis have like a 100-yard rushing day, or Mr. Rapowski have 100 yards rushing as a big rumbling fullback. I would love to see that. But, I'm now having a pipe dream. So, offensively, Evan, I would not be surprised if Aaron Rodgers throws the ball 40 to 50 times on Thursday night. And that doesn't mean they're going to lose. It just means that I think that's the dynamic of the offense come Thursday night. I want to switch over quickly to the defense. We talked a lot about this offense. Defensively, Evan, I'm not sure if the Bears give them a huge mismatch, but there's one guy. I know Jeffrey is on offense, but this Cameron Meredith guy they have, they better keep an eye on this kid, Evan. He's been targeted double-digit times, and he's been on some gaudy numbers over the last couple of weeks. And Brian Hoyer has seemed to figure out a nice little rhythm with this kid. And the Packers, I think, are going to have to watch out and see where this guy's at. Or this cat could put up some big numbers and cause problems for the Packers.
Yeah, I look at the defense. I just have a hard time figuring out how they're gonna stop anybody from passing the football. Shields, Rollins, and Randall are all out. They're all out, all three of them. So we're gonna have Goodson, we're gonna have Gunter, and they're gonna have Micah Hyde as your quarterback position. And you know, I get at the time it was the right thing to do to let Casey Hayward touch the market and leave. Because he hadn't really warranted a big contract. But Casey Hayward is one of the top-ranked cornerbacks in Pro Football Focus right now out in San Diego. How great would it be to have him on the team right now? But the thing with Hayward is he could never stay healthy in Green Bay, and he's finally healthy. But the thing is, you look at the Bears, they got Brian Hoyer playing quarterback, not really making many mistakes at all. But the thing is, Hoyer, he's a career journeyman quarterback. He's not special. He's played, you know, you look at his numbers, to me, are inflated when you look at his competition. But unfortunately, unless the Packers front seven bounces back and has a huge day stuffing the Bears' run game, which is kind of non-existent a little bit too. I know Jordan Howard is doing okay, but it's kind of non-existent. But unless the Packers front seven stuffs that run again and gets Brian Hoyer and get a pressure on him and get him uncomfortable, and I'm not saying you have to sack him like five or six times. I mean, you got to get in his face, you got to hit him a little bit, and you got to get him off his spots. You got to make him uncomfortable. If they can do that, the defense should be fine. But if they don't do that, this game could be a shootout. And I look at it, it's very hard to give a prediction, just with all the injuries the Packers have. I have a hard time giving a definite prediction, but here's what I do say about this. If the Packers go in and just completely wipe the floor with the Chicago Bears, I'm going to be happy that I beat the Bears, but I'm not going to overreact and think everything's solved and fixed and there's no problem. For the same reason we talked about when they played Detroit, that if the offense comes out on all cylinders, not to be, you know, pat on the back saying everything's fine. But I think Rodgers bounces back. I think Rodgers has a big game, and I think Green Bay does win this game. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think they break 40 points for the first time in, I think, over a year. I think they end up winning, I'm going to say, 43-27. But, you know, Packer victory.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen is now that Aaron Rodgers gets to play ego and gets to throw the ball 40 times, you're going to see a good Aaron Rodgers. And I got 1 minute, and I'll explain later, maybe tomorrow night on the show. Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball 40 times. Aaron Rodgers, if you're getting my point here, fans, I keep saying Aaron Rodgers, because part of me thinks right about now there's a lot of me involved in the problems that are going on with Aaron Rodgers. And so I'm not like you, Evan. I think he's going to go out. He's going to be in his heyday because he gets to statistically show the world how great of a quarterback he is. And I know this, you know, people are probably saying, Troy, where are you going? Yeah, I'm going down that road a little bit. And I'll continue to go down that road in other shows. Not happy with the attitude where we talk about a team atmosphere and it's not about one player. But I really think right about now there's a lot going on that it's a lot about Aaron Rodgers. And so Aaron Rodgers on national TV, Evan, with no running game, gets to go out and show the world how great of a quarterback he is to stroke Mr. Aaron Rodgers' ego. So, yeah, I think he's going to throw for like 400 yards and maybe three or four touchdowns. And, again, doesn't mean I'm going to be happy about it. I'm not happy about some things that I'm seeing right now in Green Bay. But there's really no reason that the Green Bay Packers can't win this game, even without a healthy Eddie Lacy and without James Starks. I think the Packers can score points. I'm not going to quite go as high as you. But I do think it's a close game because our defense is so banged up in the secondary, and Brian Hoyer has played efficiently over the past couple of weeks. I think the Bears are going to score some points. I think you see a 31-28 Green Bay Packer victory, closer than it should be. But our defense right now, very banged up offensively with no run game. Rodgers is going to have to chuck the ball around. I think it's 31-28 Green Bay. I know we're in archive time, Evan, but do you have anything else for the listeners?
No, just don't overreact one way or the other. If they don't play well against Chicago or if they play extremely well against Chicago, just don't overreact one way or the other. You know, this isn't going to make or break the year. It will put them, make things a little more difficult moving forward if they don't pull out the victory. But as I said, just don't overreact one way or the other regarding the outcome of the game. So
You're asking a lot, Evan, of Green Bay Packer fans. You're asking a whole lot right there. You know you could get on both knees and beg fans not to do that. It's still going to happen. And so we'll talk about it tomorrow night. I know we haven't discussed, are we going to get on the air at 11 o'clock? The game may still be going on. But as it stands now, 11 o'clock tomorrow night, Eastern time, 10 o'clock Central. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow evening. Have a good night, everyone.